Good morning. Welcome to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Jay Thomas. Good morning. Good morning. And we got a whole gang here. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
And morning, Jill.
Good morning.
Everybody's in the studio again. This is good. Okay, what's going on in the world of gardening? What's happening at the Gardening Center? Let's start with that.
Well, I think that the caterpillars are out in full force. I know that I've been cleaning them up in my trees a little bit. So we've been educating people on what to do. It seems so late in the season for the caterpillars to be webbing in your trees.
This is summer. It's almost like a sawfly type of caterpillar.
Yeah.
And because what they do is the tent caterpillars in the spring, they eat the whole leaf.
Mm-hmm.
These ones just suck out the chloroform.
You know what? It's kind of cool, though, because the leaves on my one tree, it's a purple spire in my yard, and just like probably a one-foot section, about three-quarters of the way up, is completely gone. The leaves are still there, but they're just opaque, and they just
they
like
suck all
little
the juice
shells.
I had a liver on a linden even. I put my quad up beside it, and I stood up. I had to get to the top of the tree because that tree's not that old. And so I just had my bare hands, and I didn't want a new tree. I didn't want to cut the branches off, so I just squished them.
Yeah. So I went through and I took a broom and kind of got the webbing out and everything like that. But then I'm going to grab some BTK today, and it's a calmer day today. Yesterday was too windy, and I'm going to
good spray. I took my old Thunderchild crab and I cut some branches off of that because it needed trimming anyway. So I cut a couple branches off and I stuck them in a garbage pail. Right, because I was busy. I was just put them in the garbage pail for now. I was going to deal with them later. And I left. It was there for 2 days, right, in there. Just stuffed some branches, in a plastic liner inside of it, like garbage bag. And then I look 2 days later, the whole top of the garbage can was like a spider's web. Like they put that silk out, right? And it was a total spiral all the way around and only about in like a garbage pail. What is it about? 18 inches, 24 inches in diameter, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And there was only about maybe a 6-inch hole in the middle that was open. They just spun a total web around. I don't even know how they did that, but
that's pretty neat. They're creative.
They're creative.
Yeah, so we're seeing those. We're seeing still some people with issues with their lawn and doing some patching on their lawn, so roughing up the edges, adding some lawn seed. Fall mums are starting to pop out here and there. So
don't say that F word yet.
Isn't that crazy? Yep. But you know what? As people entertain, they might have a container that's not looking so good, so you can switch out your containers to the fall mums. What I would suggest when you're getting a fall mum earlier in the season is take it out of the existing pot that it's in and transplant into a larger pot. You'll be watering it a lot less. Those are so root bound. If you don't water them regularly, they'll just kind of dry out for you. So that's a little trick with those guys. So we're starting to see those. We won't be really getting those into the greenhouse till the end of August, beginning of September, because we just find that people like to enjoy their annuals and they're still looking so good that we'll leave those till then.
My hydrangeas are just in full bloom right now and they're starting to turn color now.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Pink ones are starting to turn pink.
Oh, it's amazing. The color is it just makes the whole yard go pop.
Mine doesn't even want to stand up. the flowers get on top and they kind of falls over.
Well, the newer varieties now, they're sturdier.
They're so compact. Yeah. And then I have all my moth hydrangeas, which are the ones with the larger flowers that are a little bit more sporadic. Yep. Those ones have just started blooming. So those are later blooming.
They're a little bit later,
So I was at the garden center on Saturday and I stopped at a few other garden centers because we were all out of some sphagnum moss at our garden center and we were going to make some moss poles at home. So we were at Early's and it was just nice to see people buzzing around the garden centers. The parking lot was full at our garden center and people were at the farmer's market and wandering around the trees and just with their hands dirty. And I like to see the multiple generations together. Gardening in the garden center. So yeah, that was still really nice to see on a nice August weekend. So.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
This week I was working with sphagnum moss. We took an old ash tree that I had in the nursery. It was a big one. It was 14-inch trunk, right? Remember, I made a shower out of it. Well, I took my chainsaw and cut my water lines into the tree up to where my shower head is and everything else.
Cool.
And then this week here, Friday, I put some foam in with that spray foam there for cleaning up cracks and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And for insulating, and I put the spray foam in, and then I had sphagnum moss that my wife's brother brought from up north, and we put it all into the foam while it was still wet, and then now it can't even tell the pipes are there. It just looks like some moss growing up the tree.
Oh, that's cool. That's very neat. Fun.
And then the other thing that we're doing at the greenhouse, if people walk into the greenhouse at Dutch right now, they're going to see it's empty at the back of the greenhouse, and we've laid out some artificial turf, and people have been, what's going on there? Yeah. And we've partnered up with the Commons Pilates group, and instead of doing a fashion show this year, we're doing Pilates classes. Our launch date is next Saturday, and then we're doing a few classes a week, and the proceeds are some of the proceeds are going to Choc Le Cure, which is our cancer center here in Saskatoon, to buy equipment. So we're launching that on Saturday, and people can go to our website and buy tickets, but we're really excited for people to be able to do something active and for good for your body in the greenhouse. So it's going to be fun.
Right on.
And Thursday... Does anybody know what happened? What the temperature was Thursday night? Or actually Friday?
Oh, it went down to 6 degrees or something.
4.3.
Oh, my goodness.
4.3.
That's crazy.
So that's crazy. So as we get into August, if you want to, because a lot of the crops were a little bit later, think about those, light sheets or some crop cover, which is that white that you can put over top and let sunlight through and water through and everything else. So think about that if you want to finish. If you have some pumpkins you want to finish off that you want bigger and all that kind of stuff, you may need, or some tomatoes you may need for those nights that goes down below like 8 degrees, you may want to just put over some cover over and they'll finish off way better than if you let them get the cool nights.
And think about those tropical plants that you might have outside too, because they're going to be a little bit acclimatized by now, but as soon as it goes below about 5 degrees, we should be looking at covering those plants as well too.
And you want to take about, if you're going to bring them in around September long weekend or so, you want to take a couple weeks to start slowly debugging them. Right? Hit them with some insecticidal soap or some Indol or something like that and get rid of the spider mite and everything up before you want to bring them inside.
Gotcha. Let's go to our first phone call in Saskatoon. Brian is on the line. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Pretty good. You?
Good. Getting kind of towards the end of the growing season. My cucumbers, some of the leaves are kind of starting to turn a bit yellow. But I've got a lot of cukes that are still kind of new. They're only about an inch long. Now, I want to send as much energy towards them as I can. A lot of these plants got 40 or 50 big leaves on them. It would be a good idea to, say, prune off half of the leaves.
Yeah, if you want to prune the leaves that are closest to the ground, especially the ones that have turned yellow, you can prune those ones off. And I'd probably say about a third of the leaves you can prune. I wouldn't go quite a half, but a third. Yeah. You still need the leaves to take in the sunlight for energy for the plant. So,
but you want to do that in the right locations, because you want air to move in amongst the plants, so you get less powdery mildew and that kind of stuff. So just don't take them from all spots, sort of put them in different spots so the air can move through the plant.
Yeah, and also near the base of the plant too.
Yep.
The mildew, does that create white spots on the leaves?
Yeah, that's what you're seeing, and it's almost just looks like white powder on the leaves, powdery mildew. And you can spray a garden fungicide on those, and that will help it from preventing it to spread as well too.
Okay, also another quick question. I've got a birch tree. I moved in the house 20 years ago. It was mature then, and it had a little bit of blight on it. Now it's just totally covered in it. It kind of looks like, almost like dog poop all over it. You know what I mean?
Is this
all these black, like black kind of things? But yet it's healthy. I mean, it's full of leaves. It's still growing. I still got to prune it every summer. How long do you think that'll last, or will that blight kill the tree? Or
I'm just trying to think what you have. Is it on the trunk? You said the black blotches.
It's not really so much in the trunk as it is on the branches.
It's on the branches itself, because there's
more
two,
or less.
Yeah.
There's some on the trunk, but more on the branches.
Maybe what you want to do is send a picture to info@dutchgrowers.com, because it could be either scale, okay, that's one thing, and then they suck on the branches, and they release sap, right, and that sap oxidizes and turns black. So that's what I just want to make sure before I say it's a blight. It might actually be an insect. So if you send some pictures, we can make sure, and some faraway pictures and some close-up pictures, okay? info@dutchgrowers.com.
Yeah, it's been getting like progressively worse every year. Yet,
yep.
You never know to look at the tree. It's always full of leaves, and like it's still actively growing in that. So, I don't know.
Let's make sure what it is. But otherwise, keep fertilizing, keep watering, especially when it's hot in the summertime. I mean, this year wasn't too bad, but then it can get by what's happening to it, okay?
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Take care, Brian. 1-877-332-8255. Time for our first break. Back right after this. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. I want to start by saying this. There's an event going on this morning.
Yes.
And I'm a part of. I'm going to be sneaking back there after the show.
Visit Jay. Yeah,
well, that's right. But you can see me. That's not what I'm talking about, though. It's not about me at all. It is the Rock 102, our sister station, Rock 102's Show and Shine Weekend with...
Big car show.
The big car show. Downtown Saskatoon. So it goes till 4 o'clock, right?
Yep.
It is one of the largest outdoor car shows that there is in Western Canada. It's been going for decades and decades.
The whole downtown is closed off. It's cars everywhere.
And it's full of cars. So
and 8th Street
stuff.
Was full of cars last night.
Oh, yeah. She was hopping. It was great. So this is like Christmas for car folk is this weekend. So, yeah, if you're looking for something to do today, bring the family. It's a family-friendly event. Come for a walk around downtown. Lots to see and do. And there's vendors and all kinds of food and everything like that to go along with the car show. So that's happening. And I got to do one shout-out, and she's going to be mad at me for saying this, but happy birthday to Rochelle Klein Carrier, who is the president of the Shifters Car Club that I'm a part of. And she does a lot of big, big work, heavy lifting in the car community, announcing all the car shows across the whole province every week, volunteering so many hours. She does an incredible job. It's her birthday today.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Rochelle. She'll be just shaking her finger at me when I get back to the car show and she finds out I did this, but that's okay.
And Rick drove his lovely classic to the show today, his nice 53 GMC.
That's right, yeah.
It's a beautiful truck.
So it's car weekend in Saskatoon. If you're in the area, come on by. If not, there's still lots of time. But if you get in the car, like in the next half hour, grab the family, listen to us on the way there, and go check it out. Come in from out of town. It's a great, great event. Let's go to our phone lines. We're going to go to our texts and our phones kind of at the same time here. So we've got, I think it's Ian Ho's on the line. Hi there, Ian. How are you?
Hi. Good morning. I'm fine. Yes. I was actually just watching on YouTube some of the guy from Boston at the Bez Gardens. The guy can still sing, and the cars are amazing.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good event. Yeah, you're also right. There's also Rock the River at the Delta Bezboro, right, which is another great, great thing to be a part of. So you sent us pictures of a tree, right?
Yeah, well, I sent some last weekend to Rick and Jill. It's that green ash that I have. It's, I don't know, 16 years old. And I had said to you, I think, Rick, you answered me, the one side I had watered for 3 hours when I fell asleep, and you said, well, did you water the other? So I did that, but it hasn't really helped. So, and I had, there was a guy came out and looked at a different tree for a different reason, because it was on city property, and he took a quick look, and he said that it's got, there's something wrong, like a name, but I don't remember what he said. But so if you're looking at those pictures on the left side, those leaves are yellowing, getting spots, curling up, and falling. And I was at the Dutch Growers. Because I only had 28-10-10 instead of 30-10-10. And I was advised by two people there that it's a little late in the year to be fertilizing it.
Yeah, because ash are the first ones to lose their leaves in September. So
yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know what if I should be spraying it with something, or, you know, I don't know if it's something that will overwinter and it's going to come back again next year. I'm kind of worried about the longevity of the tree.
Yeah, for this time of the year, basically what I do is I'd probe the soil, okay, and see what the moisture level is down, like 12 inches down, okay?
Yep.
And so just make sure that it's moist, but it's not wet, okay? Ash. They do grow naturally sometimes, you know, in wetter areas, but I mean, it's best if it's just moist and not really wet, especially if you got heavy clay in your area. And then once it starts dropping leaves, and of course ash drop leaves, the green ash is a little bit different. I mean, some of the other black ash, they drop their leaves in one day almost, just boosh, down they go. Green ash drop them, you know, a little bit more sporadically, but clean up as much of the leaves as you can. Okay.
Does it look like it has a disease of some
kind? Well, with the spots, that's the only thing I'm looking at is the spots. You may have a fungal in them, but you don't see fungals in ash that often. Like, that's the whole thing. But what they do is, I mean, depending on what kind of ash it is, like I have some around the garden center, I have some Patmore ashes. And Patmore ashes just all of a sudden, they just started dying. And I had that happen once before out in the nursery, and I don't know whether it's just the genetics of the tree. There's just sometimes it'll just all of a sudden just die out. And even in the fields, we'd get about a 2 to 3 inch caliper tree, and all of a sudden the next spring they would die out. And then I had some in some landscapes. I remember one time we had one in some landscapes, and I told the guy just to leave them. They dropped all the leaves in the middle of summer. And then, so they just stood there. It looked like they were totally dead. And then the next spring, but there was life in the branches. And the next spring, it leafed out again. So, one thing we have to watch for is that once they get stressed, they attract a borer. Okay. And once the borer gets underneath the bark, then that's almost a death sentence.
Well, I do fertilize and I water, you know, deeply 3 times a year, like spring, midsummer, and end of year, like before winter. I'm wondering if it's coincidence that you mentioned fungus, because when I was out at the store, I picked up some copper spray because I have my nine barks are beautiful, big plants, but the flowers, if you call it that, you know, they shrivel up. So I got some spray. So can it be a fungus that would be on the tree and on the nine?
Right, and that's what you want to see with the black spots, and they have yellow around the outside edge of the black spots. That's usually a sign of a fungal. Okay. And so, so what you want to do is that if you spray the copper sulfate, it's not going to hurt the tree, right? And it's because copper sulfate is a suppressant and preventive. It's not a cure. Okay. It won't make those spots go away.
Okay. So I've got one of those, you know, the big plastic pump things.
Yep. Spray as much of that tree as you can.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Okay. And, your fudge there is really amazing at Dutch Growers. I tried to put in a job application as a taste tester.
Well, we make it fresh there, so it's...
Now, oh, do you?
Now,
well, the root beer is amazing.
Now, I'm just going to give one little add thing to your copper sulfate, okay?
Yeah.
I would spray it at least twice in about 14 days apart this year, and then once you get into June next year, spray it 3 times 14 days apart.
Just a minute.
Okay.
So like the first 15th and 30th?
Yep. Okay. And it has to be, you spray them about 14 days apart. It has to be 3 applications to make it really work.
Okay. I'm writing this down because otherwise I'll have to re-listen again tonight.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Ian. Have a good day. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 1-877-332-8255. I guess the other thing to remember too is don't forget that when leaves start to get brown or curl up or that sort of thing, you can't reverse leaves, right?
No. But you can, if it's early enough in the season, you can get new leaves.
Right.
Right?
Or prevent it from spreading.
In the season for that. Well, so once you've got brown leaves or they've got spots or they've turned brown and fallen off, like you can't fix a half broken leaf, right?
No.
You can only hope for more growth to come in the early season.
Yeah. Well, this year he has half of August yet, right? Before it really starts shutting down, and then on a suppress it from getting worse.
Yes.
And then next year is when we're going to really hit it to stop.
But we can't re-green up the tree this time of year, right?
Nope. So no, and you don't want to get new growth at this time.
No,
of year.
No, exactly.
And the key is whenever you got any leaves in that have fungus or some kind of issues with them, do not put them in the compost.
Okay. Let's go to that question. This is from Doug in Regina on the text line. I had 14 tower aspen trees removed from my yard and had the stumps ground out. Will these grindings and chips work as mulch for my flower shrubs and tree beds?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a good idea, right?
Yep.
That's free mulch.
Yep, because if you want to plant in that area, there's too much mulch there just to plant into. Because
so
just take some of it out.
Wheelbarrow it out and
spread it around. I just spread about 30 yards in the last few days around my yard of mulch.
Rick, do you ever stop working?
Look at his hands. He should
take a break.
He does not.
Retired, not.
Permanent dirt in his hands.
Let's take a quick break. News update for everybody right now. Back after this, I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Thanks for spending Sunday here with us. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. Welcome back to Garden Talk. There was we had a text in from Robin, right?
Yeah, Robin Adair from Arborcrest. And this is kind of a fun thing happening in the city, the ISA Prairie Tree Climbing Competition. So arborists will be meeting at Kinsman Park next Friday night. Saturday and Sunday morning, and you can come down. It's free of charge, and you can see these arborists race up their trees, and it's really cool. If you've ever been to Gardenscape, you can see them climb up their ropes and stuff, but yes, they'll actually be doing this in the park, climbing up some trees and having some competitions with it.
It's so neat, because you know, you think of a lot of arborists, or if you're in the cities, you often see tree pruning crews using bucket trucks, right? But a lot of this actually happens with them, like, manually climbing a tree and pruning it from the top down.
I watch some like TikToks and videos on them when they're up in the tree and they cut the top off, and the vibration of doing it, just the tree is swaying back and forth. And I'm just like, God, that takes some guts to do that.
Oh man, yeah. Yeah, big time. I couldn't ever do that. I don't even want to go on the stepladder.
But we did have quite a large storm last week. I know that there was a bunch of trees down, especially south of the city, like yes, the Berry Barn area and everything like that. So Rick, maybe we should talk a little bit about pruning, and if you have splits in your trees and what to do with some of the trees that way.
Yeah, it's with the splits, and some of it's a really bad split, because what happens when they split, they actually tear the bark down. Part of the when it tears right down, it tears the bark down some of the side of the trunk. And so the best thing to do then is cut off the tree, and be careful when you do that, because some of those big limbs are heavy. So if you just go and start cutting it off, it could fall down and hit you, okay?
Right.
So you want to take it down in pieces, you know, right, starting from the tips and work your way back to the trunk.
Yeah.
And that way you eliminate some of the weight off of it. So, and if you can't do it yourself, then there's lots of guys, people that will, companies that will come in and do that for you.
Just, and they're tree doctors. So like, yes, sometimes if you have a split in your tree, they'll actually like put bolts together as if they're doing surgery tie the tree back together so that it can actually grow back together again.
So you can do that. I mean, the things about putting a bolt in, you have to go quite a bit higher. If it's just, if you just noted a bit of a split already, you put the bolt quite a bit higher and you drill a hole through the tree. You don't put a wire around or a cable around. That'll just hurt the tree in the end, because it'll cut the bark and that. But you have to drill a hole and put some ready rod through it, and some bolts and washers and that kind of stuff, different size of washers and bolts. But then you have to be very careful, because when it rains, every time it rains, the water comes down the trunk and goes into that crack still. So, and then it'll rot the tree from the inside out, right?
Oh, yeah.
Water and wood don't work together. So you have to be able to make sure you seal that crack up so you keep the water out. And then also make sure you leave a little port at the bottom where the crack ends, that the water, if any water does get in, that it can get out.
Some of these projects, I say, like, would you do surgery on yourself without having educated experience? Probably not. I'd hire an arborist.
Exactly. if it's something that they can do it properly and everything
safely.
Else. And safely. The big one is safely, because some of the branches are big.
And it's all about size, right? If you have like a 1 or 2 year old little tree and it's only 5 or 6 feet tall in your front yard and you can reach the whole thing, that's pretty simple to do some of this stuff. When you're talking about, you know, elm trees or, you know, oak trees that have been around for 100 years, and that's big, big, big trees, right? So,
but the other thing is not only the health of the tree, it's the safety of everything around you and your buildings too, because you get another wind and you have a tree that's slightly damaged, that tree branch could come down on a person, a car, or on a house.
Or your neighbor's house.
Yeah, you have to to really, really watch that. And so go after a storm or something going around your yard, and not only just checking your basement, like my basement last week, but checking your yard too.
Basically, except for elm trees, I mean, you can prune an elm tree if it's damaged, okay, if it got damaged by the wind and that. So what you have to do is take pictures to show that you have damaged plants, because you can't prune elm trees. Mm-hmm. So you just cut it and bring it to the landfill. They wonder, how come you cut this tree for? So if you take pictures and document everything, then you can take those branches to the landfill. Most landfills will dump elm branches free of charge, right? But you needed to have documentation that tree was damaged. You just didn't cut down the tree.
Right, exactly, exactly. Let's go to the text line, 1-877-332-8255. Bob in Saskatoon asks, when is a good time to plant fall garlic?
You want to wait till your temperatures are a little bit cooler so that it doesn't start growing. So I would say probably say about end of September, we'll start getting our fall garlics in a couple weeks now. So you'll be able to start pick it up, keep it in storage. And then once our nighttime temperatures are hitting around that five degrees, you want the temperatures to be a little bit cooler.
Okay, there we go. This is Lorna, who's in Grandora on the text line. My verbenum Viburnum?
Viburnum.
Viburnum, okay.
Yeah.
Has one branch that's shot up a couple feet higher than the rest. Should I prune it down now, springtime? What do you think?
Yeah, anytime.
Yeah, like we can do for one branch, that's no problem.
And just remember, when you prune, everywhere you prune, it's going to branch off from there and you're going to get multiple prunes. So make sure you prune it low enough so that when it does that, it doesn't look funny and you have it branching above everything else.
You said a viburnum, right?
Yeah.
Which is the cranberry family, right?
Yeah.
Basically.
Okay. Yeah.
Cranberries, nannyberries, wayfaring tree. It's the viburnum snowball.
Yeah. I like to just prune mine so that they're nice little round puff balls. So.
Okay, there we go. 1-877-332-8255. A couple more minutes here before our next break. This is not sure who from. If you do text us, great to give us your name and where you're from. It sometimes helps us out. It says, good morning, folks. Our zucchini plants have powdery mildew. Is there anything we can do to save them, or is it too late? It doesn't look too bad, really.
No.
It's just a few little spots.
No, you have a few spots. Watch watering. Make sure the water is going to the base of the plant and not on the leaves is number one. You can remove some of those leaves that are really, really bad, and then just go grab a garden fungicide, is what it's called, or a sulfur spray, and you can spray that on the leaves, and that's not going to your leaves, after you spray, they're going to have brown spots on them, but it's going to get the fungus from preventing and spreading. You can do that spray once every 10 to 14 days.
We tend to see this, though, like we've had lots of rain, right, recently. I don't mean a lot as in a huge volume necessarily, but it's been sprinkling for a while now, overnight. Like every night, there's been some rain in the area, right?
There's a big storm that went just east of Blackstrap last night, a big one, and we had our cushions everywhere. It was such a wind with it. It's incredible.
Really? Okay. Yep. But what I'm saying is, you know, when we get that overnight rain,
it sits
on the leaves.
And then you get the cool weather like we've been getting,
yes,
and you start to get mildews. The other thing to remember is mildews, especially the powder mildews, is spread by spores. So if you're using your garden gloves to clean them up, just make sure you wash your gloves afterwards, or wash your hands or any tools in between.
Right. Okay. Perfect. 1-877-332-8255. Who's this from? Again, not quite sure, but it is, can you identify? Ooh, look at that. Look at those ferns. Can you identify what's happening to my northern ferns? Aphids, slugs, how do I treat them, and should I cut them off at ground level? Here's the picture. And it's like there's the stems of the plant left, but there's almost nothing left of the actual leaves. It's all chewed. So there's the stem of the leaf, and there's the little branches that come off the stem, and then all the actual greenery is totally gone on that northern fern. It's kind of strange, isn't it?
I think it's not an insect that got that one. I think it's just, I noticed mine too, is that for a while there, the moisture wasn't right, and it was almost like they got a heat stress type of thing.
It looks like heat or fungal, truthfully.
Yeah.
And what you're seeing is it looks like something's eating it, but it's actually the fungus eating the plant.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
All right.
Yep.
But that's what it looks like. With the ferns, you can do a few things. You can cut them back. You can also spray them with a fungicide if that's what it is. It doesn't look like it's a bug. You would actually see a bug on there, and you would see, I don't usually see slugs go after them like that. So
I cut mine back and they came right back again.
Yeah.
They looked really good.
I would cut those back. They're not going to come back too much this
any more this
year. Season.
Mine was about 3 weeks ago that I did that, and they came back. So,
well, this is pretty ugly looking the way it is. So I'd rather cut that down than look at it the way it is. So
yeah, and if it's a fungal, you'll want to make sure that it's not spread, and then make sure you just throw those leaves into the garbage when you're done.
Good time to join the conversation. Give us a call at that number, 1-877-332-8255. Or give us a text. Calls always go first. Back after this break. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Well, we got some blue skies and a little bit of light cloud, but a beautiful morning on the go here. Hopefully it's just as nice where you are. Welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. We want to talk about a couple of events, another event coming up, right?
Yeah, SOS Trees has some events coming up, and you can get involved in this in the city with helping with some urban forestry and planting some trees. So the next one is August 21st. And one thing that's really special about this date is this planting is in honor of Linda Moskalisk, who passed away this August, and she's the one who started the advocacy for SOS Trees and started the programs here in Saskatoon. And so there's a few events if you want to get involved, and it can be a family event. Any ability can come out and do this. We were actually just planting some of these this spring, and Linda was attending those events too. So Thursday, August 21st. It's this one, they're planting 120 trees and shrubs across from Ellis Hall along the Miwasin. And then another one on September 27th, Tree Canada is working with some urban parks. If you want to get involved with that, you can go to Tree Canada or SOS Trees. You can register on there and you can sign up. And it's just a great opportunity to get involved and get your hands dirty and help the community.
It's great to get to plant some trees and then go back to those, especially along the Miwasin and some of the parks, you know, the one on the end of September is along Preston Avenue by Bates, and they're planting about 400 trees and shrubs there. It's about 120 this on this Thursday they're planting. So you really get involved when you get there's a lot of people that show up, so you don't spend a lot of time there. Within about an hour, everything's planted.
If
and done.
Everybody grabs a shovel and plants a tree, it goes really quick.
Exactly.
Cool. All right. So again, where do you go? One more time.
This one you can go to SOS Trees and you can register there. And this one's August 21st from 9 to 11.
Very cool. Let's go to the phone lines at 1-877-332-8255 in Limerick, Saskatchewan. We got Wayne. Hi, Wayne. How are you?
Good. Good morning. Hey, I've got some calla lilies. Calla lilies.
Yep.
And all I get is green vegetation. They look very healthy, but there's no flowers.
Oh, have you been fertilizing, like added some bone meal or anything like that into the soil when you plant them?
No, it's a new flower bed.
Okay. And when you put them into the soil, how wet is the soil around the calla lilies?
It was fairly good.
Yeah.
For moisture, yeah.
The other thing that you can do is you can use like a 15-30-15 fertilizer, and that might help get them to bloom a little bit that way. But I did find like the calla lilies that we planted in the ground at my mom's house this year, they bloomed quite late this season.
Ours were late this year.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other thing that I found that helps with the calla lilies is I take like a 6 to 8 inch pot and I'll put my bulb into that pot and then I'll just sink that pot right into the ground. Sometimes I find that I have better control over those roots hitting the edge of the pot and then that plant sort of finishing a lot faster.
And especially at the beginning of April, if you start them off in the house and then get them to some size and then transplant them around the May long weekend outside.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
That works too.
I can try that next year.
Yep. Yeah, try that. I wouldn't give up on them. I mean, if you want to, you can take them out of the ground if it's getting cool later and you still haven't been able to enjoy them. Just take a nice big root ball and put them into a pot and enjoy the blooms indoors because they still are going to bloom this year.
And don't plant them too deep. If you plant them too deep, it takes longer for them to come up.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Wayne.
Thank you.
Take care. 1-877-332-8255. Let's go to this text from Barry. Two quick questions. Wanted to transplant some spruce trees. Is it too late in the season to do this?
It's too early.
It's too early, yes.
It's close. It's close, usually around after, because this year the season was later, okay? So I still notice that even in my yard, there's a few smaller, most of the spruces have set their terminal buds for next year ready.
Okay.
There's some of them that still have a little bit of new growth in the end. They haven't set those buds yet. So you want to make sure, like normally I like to wait to the third week of August before I start.
Okay.
That's approximately. And then you can transplant them from there right up until freeze up.
Okay. Barry, so this is also Barry, North Shore Fishing Lake. I've got three rows of young, about 3 feet tall, Okanese poplars. A couple of these trees are losing their leaves and have gone yellow. What might be the problem? Should I remove them before the other trees are affected?
Yellowing usually means stress. Like you'll see them all over the place. If they're stressed because of water, either too much or too not enough.
Yeah.
Then they'll actually shut down and protect themselves early.
So I wouldn't remove them.
No,
they'd be fine. They'd be fine.
Yeah.
Poplars are pretty tough.
Just probe the soil right now to figure out what the moisture like. If it's really wet, then aerate the soil. If it's really dry, give them a shot of moisture right now, okay? But you'll get some of the poplars, they'll start turning color when they're under stress.
Yeah.
But it's important to figure out what's stressing them so that you can prevent them because it's not necessarily the water that's going to kill them. It's going to be the borers or the disease that's going to move in if they are stressed.
If they're stressed, exactly.
Okay, 1-877-332-8255. Let's keep going on the text line here. Let me see. Just got to go to the next one. Dawn is in Regina. I was wondering what I can use to stop bugs from eating my cabbage leaves.
The biggest thing that you can do is you have to, at the right time of the year when the bug is in the stage where it's flying, you put a net over top of them, like a row cover. And that prevents the fly from landing on the cabbage leaves and eating them.
Yeah, or the moth.
Or the moth.
The caterpillar, yeah.
So it's when you're seeing those little white moths flying around, that's when they're laying the eggs, and then it's the caterpillar later. So you almost have to put the row cover on at that time, like kind of mid-June, where that moth's flying around, and then you're not going to get it.
Yep.
If you want to use an insecticidal soap or something like that, it's tricky. I'd probably just use like a Dawn dish soap or something and try and wash off or try and pick out some of those worms and caterpillars, but it's pretty tricky once you've already got the worm in there.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the phone lines and sneak this one in before the end of the hour. Denise is in Swift Current. Hi, Denise.
Good morning. How are you today?
Pretty good. You?
Good. I've got some trouble with some 10-foot tall, approximately 8 to 10-foot tall aspen trees presenting with black spots all over the leaves right now. Just sort of wondering what I can do with them. I have about 20 trees that are all seem to be affected with this in various degrees.
Okay, there's two things that can get it, and it's hard to see unless you see the leaf itself. There's one is called a poplar leaf miner. And it's with a fly that lays an egg on the leaf, and the larva stage is a little miner that drills underneath the two layers of the leaf and mines the underside of the chloroform out of the leaf. And you can tell by that, by just opening up those little things, you'll see little black droppings inside, in between the layers of leaf in that black area. Okay. And the other one is fungal, but normally you see with the fungal, you'll see black sporadic, but you'll see a yellow edge around the black. And then you have a fungal.
Okay. No, these are spots all over the plant.
Yeah.
All over the leaf, I should say.
Yeah.
So can I do?
Most likely it's a miner, and there's not much you can do with a miner because all the chemicals that work on them, you can't get anymore. Okay. And so it used to be Saigon or Lagon or things like that. You used to be able to get on them. Now, cause you have to time it when the fly starts laying its eggs, right? And it's really hard to do that because every year it's a little bit different timing. And so what I suggest you do is all you do is keep your tree healthy, keep it watered, keep it fertilizer, and just get new growth and you get new leaves. As the insects are there, you're getting new leaves, and then the tree just can sustain what's happening to the black parts in the leaves. It's still be just cosmetic then. It won't hurt the tree.
Now you said keep it fertilized. You don't want to be fertilizing your trees
right now.
You'll want to start fertilizing May next year and then do it every 3 to 4 weeks.
And stop around July 15th.
Okay, and sorry, what was the name of the bug again?
Called a poplar leaf miner.
Popular. Okay, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye, Denise. All right, off to our break. News update for everybody. We're back after this for hour two. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to Garden Talk. It's time for hour number two. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. We'll get to our text line in just a second, but when we get calls in, we get to go first over to those calls. So we want to say good morning to Paul, who's in Saskatoon. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, you guys. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good. Jill, I got a little watermelon update for you.
Uh-oh.
Okay, I don't have a watermelon update, but let's hear yours first.
Well, I'm eating watermelon.
Awesome. Mine hasn't even produced any fruit. I just have some leaves, and that's it.
No, they're $5.99 at Superstore.
I'm so happy for you that way. That's the way I've been eating my watermelon too. But no, I don't think the weather's been warm enough in my backyard, and it got a slow start to the season. So I've got leaves, but no fruit on it.
Hey, Paul, I hope you're at least being thrifty and making yourself a helmet out of that watermelon shell and for, cheering on the riders.
Go riders, go.
No, I actually have a fruit. They're the size of, I guess it was a racquetball.
Okay.
Oh, it's a little, but they're there.
Yeah.
They're there. But like you said, it hasn't been hot enough. Yep. And I've talked to a lot of people, and they say what you have to do is you have to put down black plastic.
Okay.
Yeah, keep the roots warm.
Well, there's always next year, Paul. We'll do it again.
And then once the nighttime temperature started getting a little bit below plus eight, then you need to cover them at nighttime with a frost blanket or something, okay?
Yeah. Well, Rick, I think we're going to get you involved next year.
It'd be my mom that we have to get involved, too.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
Well,
we have to have a grow-off again, yeah.
Here we go.
But I've had a phenomenal garden this year. I've already picked beans, one big batch of beans, and everything is growing fantastic. I do have an issue with some chokecherry trees. I have about there's about 300 on my property. And I've got some that are going, the leaves are going yellow. Is it because it's late in the season or, you know, we've had a lot of rain and maybe they're not getting dried off, just like, you know, when you get the mildew on the leaves of your,
yep.
you know,
I'm getting that in my, I have a bush beside me, beside my house, and it's all native choke cherries.
Yep.
And in the last few years, I've had a bunch die. Some was from the drought, okay, and yep. other ones now is from, I'm seeing the leaves turn yellow as well, and it's a fungal. And it's because everything's so tight in that bush and so much competition in that bush, and we've had quite a few rains, and I think that's the reason why that has showed up this year. But you know, the choke cherries are pretty, they're resilient, so they'll be fine.
They're hardy as heck.
Oh yeah,
boy.
Absolutely.
Holy cow.
Absolutely, yeah. They'll be fine.
Anyways, I just thought I'd rib you a little bit, Jill, and we're going to try next year.
Yeah, yep. I appreciate it. Like the enthusiasm for the encouragement of it's never over. We'll try again next year.
Well, and you know, it would be wonderful if we can do it and other people can, once we figure out how to do it, you guys can start plants and start selling them.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Hey, thanks for the call today, Paul. Appreciate it.
Yep. Have a great day.
You too. All right. Bye-bye. 1-877-332-8255. Now, we had a caller and texter, a joint call and text from Ian earlier. Ian asked us another question. Is that plastic type string or rope bad for plants? Like does it cut into them with tall, like windblown hollyhocks and tomatoes and stuff like that? What do you use?
It depends on how you're tying the tree up or the plant up with them. If you tie it tight around the stem, then as the plant grows, it's going to grow into it because... If you're just tied it onto a stake and using it as a support, then that's when those strings are good.
It's checking them, you know, especially if you've got a perennial that gets a thick stem because it grows so quickly that it'll choke it off if you put it really, really tight.
Mm, right.
And so soft ties is a good one, which is it has a little bit of elasticity to it and a rubber coating on it. It helps protect the bark of the plant as well.
Okay, perfect. We got an update from, looks like Janice and Leader. She had asked us, it's all one text. I'm sorry about that. I heard that hydrogen peroxide works to spray on plants for fungus.
Mm-hmm.
My potatoes have a fungus. I'm wondering what to spray them with. I've torn off the affected parts and, you know, got rid of it out of the garden. Do I need to treat the soil for it next year? Would formaldehyde be good to put in the soil for prevention next year?
Never used formaldehyde before.
That's not a good chemical, and I don't know if I'd put that anywhere near that food that I'm eating.
Yeah.
So, you know, without being an official expert.
I wouldn't do that at all. I mean, the biggest thing for potatoes, the best way to prevent other fungals and that kind of stuff is to plant, rotate your crop. Don't put it in the same place every year, okay? That's the key for potatoes is, you know, locate your plant in a different spot every year.
And you can use baking soda or hydrogen peroxide, and you mix it up and you'd spray it on the leaves, and that's just like a preventative to help the funguses prevent from spreading once you see them that they're actively there. So there's lots of home remedies with that as well, too.
Okay. Back to the phone lines in Saskatoon. I think we're going to get Bob on the line here. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. How are we this morning?
Pretty good. You?
Fantastic. I had an episode happen about a year ago on that. I grow carrots. And if you know, remember right, Bugs Bunny there has a carrot, and if you note the type he has, it has the root on the end, and the one is a full-size carrot. I don't know what variety. I grow my carrots with those tissue. You buy them that for so many in that because they're easy to keep that way.
Yeah, when in the tape, right? The seed tape?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I dug it up and put my fork down in that and lifted it up, I got this. And I got my carrots out, and I don't understand this. I got a purple one, I got a white one, I had a yellow one, yellow and orange one, and a straight orange one. And it never happened again as far as that in a taper, in four in a straight line. What happened?
A seed got mixed up.
I think a seed got mixed up. So sometimes what happens when they have a seed machine, they put the seed in and then it goes through and the seed might have not got blown out in between varieties. So they might have done like a rainbow mix.
Oh.
And then you had a few extra seeds that were left in that seed tape and then they continued on to the next one.
New and went for the whole thing and that from one end to the other straight. straight on that one tapered tape, and I was quite surprised.
Yeah, so you just got probably the lot right before. You got a little bit of that seed mixed in with yours.
Oh, okay. I know they're all edible, and I looked at it, and I was shocked.
Yeah, you can buy a rainbow mix seed packet. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I never seen them in a taper with those tissues.
Not in tape, but it won't come in tape. It'll just come in a package.
If you go to like a fancy restaurant, too, they have all those colorful carrots. So now you got some bougie carrots.
Oh, I gave them to my neighbors, and they were shocked as well as I was.
Well, now you got something new that you can look for the future.
Well, I'm looking forward to that if I can find another taper as far as that goes. I forget what variety, but they were strictly all orange on the package.
Yeah, so that's probably what happened. It's just, switching the lot.
Yep. I was wondering what the heck happened. Anyway, thanks for answering my question.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks for the call, Bob. Bye-bye. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, this is from... Who? Again, no name, but that's okay. Just give us your name. Doug. Doug in Weyburn. I'm sorry. I didn't read it far enough. This is from Doug, and there's a picture here, guys. I'll get you to look at that. It's a leaf, and you can see that it's all got full of holes, but you can see all the...
That's what the leaf looks like on my tree when we were talking about the caterpillar.
Okay, so Doug says that we have a sand cherry bush covered with this. Yep. There's the other side of it. It looks like maybe it is pear slugs, he wonders.
There's two things. Pear slug.
Yep.
They were a little bit earlier in the season, and right now is those sawfly look like a caterpillar, which are just sucking the chloroform out of the tree as well, out of the leaves as well. And they all like the prunus, like the chokecherry family, right?
Okay.
Or even apple family. But that looks like, if it's a sand cherry that she's talking about, it looks like probably a cestina, which is purple leaf sand cherry. It's most likely the pear slug.
So what does Doug do for the pear slug?
They're easy to get rid of. You can use insecticidal soap on it, Endol. You can use Bug X Out, a pyrethrin. You can use anything on them. They die very easy.
Okay, sounds good. Let's take a quick break. We got lots of text to get through. That'll be up after this. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. You're listening to Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Nice Sunday morning out there. Welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. One thing that happens is that we've often found that anybody who's into gardening or they're starting into gardening, and there's people who are like, you know, well experienced, they really have got it all down pat. But when people are brand new to gardening or they want to get into it, or even if you just want a house plant, it's hard sometimes to figure out how to do things. You know, you can listen to us and we can give advice, but getting your hands right in the dirt and doing it hands-on is sometimes the best way. And there's some opportunities coming up.
And we get lots of phone calls. Can we bring our plant in and bring it into the greenhouse and you guys can help pot us up? And what that does is just opens exposure for new bugs or anything like that to come into the greenhouse. So we added an addition in our pottery section this year, and it's got two big doors on it. And so we're going to have a repotting party this coming up weekend, which is August 20. What's the date of that? 23rd and 24th. Mm-hmm. How it works is
it's in Saskatoon.
It's in Saskatoon at the Dutch Quarters in Saskatoon. A Dutch Quarters in Regina is not doing it, just the Saskatoon one. You can sign up online. Let us know what type of plants you want to repot. It could be a cactus. It can be a bigger plant. It can be an orchid. And then we'll make sure that we have the materials ready for you and you can bring your plants down and we are going to walk you through. So you are going to do the transplanting, but we're going to have all the supplies there. To come, it's free. You just pay for the supplies you use to transplant. So if you need a new pot or some new soil, you pay for that. And we'll help you walk through the steps and sort of give you the encouragement along the way and cheer you on. And you can leave all the mess with us behind, too.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I guess like what we said earlier, just in case you missed that, the reason we don't want to normally bring plants in is because we want to eliminate as much disease as you can. And sometimes without you even knowing it, you might bring a house plant in. Carrying
a bug or fungus or something's in the soil or something like that. So we usually don't offer this service, but we have now a space where we're going to do these repotting parties where we can bring the plants in through a different door, keep them contained in an area, and we can sort of walk you through these.
Yeah.
So you can sign up for different time slots throughout the day, and then we can sort of have our experts help you and walk along.
And not only that, but on top of it, maybe you need a bigger size pot.
Yeah, you need a bigger size pot. It's right there. You can choose it. Or you have access to the different types of soils and everything like that we'll have right there.
Yeah. And oftentimes I know that when you're using a pot that, say, doesn't have a hole in the bottom, mm-hmm. we always really recommend, you know, some gravel or rocks in the bottom of it to, you know.
And our experts will help you with
all that stuff.
If you're transplanting organ, maybe do some root pruning, and we'll show you how to do that.
Yep.
All of that kind of stuff. It's going to be fun.
Or take off all the moss that's around the store-bought orchid and then, you know, replant it in some orchid bark, you know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, lots of different examples of different techniques.
And like
techniques.
You said, Jay, like, it might just be, hey, I need to be shown how to do this once so that next time I know how to do it at home too.
Yeah, it's you always learn. I think most people learn the best when they do it hands-on, mm-hmm. and then they've got that memory of it, how it was supposed to be done. So.
Yeah, so we're excited for this event this Saturday and Sunday coming up, August 23rd and 24th. Sign up online, dutchgrowers.com.
Let's go to the text line, 1-877-332-8255. Let's see, Donna says, good morning. I'm wondering if you can let me know. If I don't get webby caterpillar nests off of a tree, will it harm the tree? Will those caterpillars harm the tree? Because they're really high in the tree.
Yeah, it won't harm the tree. Those buds will be set up there, and the branch will just come back next year. Like, it's late enough in the season that it should be fine. If it was earlier in the season, it would put on a new set of leaves. But we're almost getting too late in the season for them to put, you know, did you notice that, like, at 9 o'clock it's dark already? You know?
I know.
So the trees are going to get thinking about shutting down, so they won't put new leaves out, and they might put a little bit of a new leaf on some of them, especially if it's a chokecherry. But in most cases, they'll just shut down and put new leaves out next year.
If it's doing this like once, like every few years, it's not going to harm the tree. It's if you get the tree defoliated year after year after year that the tree starts getting weak, then that's when you're going to get in troubles.
Right.
Yeah. Nature takes care of itself. It's amazing.
Don't forget, though, you can get things like pole pruners. Like I have one that I got. An aunt and uncle left, you know, moved out of their house to a smaller location, didn't need all this stuff anymore.
Yep.
And I was given it, and it is awesome because it's got a little trigger handle, like you squeeze it with one hand, hold it with the other, but then it's extendable. So it's already about 5 feet long. And when you unclick it and pull it out further, it goes to about 10 feet long.
Yeah. Wow.
So you can reach, like, just if I'm 6 feet tall, you can reach just about 16 feet in the air with this thing and clip off small branches.
Jill just showed you a picture of me hauling my branches and my quad and my trailer, right? And so and I was just pruning my maple trees and some of the branches up high, and I have a pole pruner which goes up 14 feet high.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it works really well.
So that's another option, too. If you want to get out that caterpillar nest because you don't want it there, and they are gross.
Yep.
Right,
just trim it out.
Ugh. And they don't look nice because I have a nice green tree. It happened in my Dakota Pinnacle birch, and then there's one little clump, and it's like 10 or 12 brown leaves, and that nest up there.
But so, the biggest thing is that there's like probably in that nest there's probably like 100 little caterpillars.
Yeah,
they'll all turn to a moth and then put a whole bunch of eggs out again next year. So then you have even more next year.
So, but if you take it off, I learned this. Put it on the ground and stomp it.
Oh, yes.
Because that nest is so full of little caterpillars. Yeah, yeah. If you just throw it in the garbage bin, you come up the next day, they're crawling all over the bin and all over your house and everywhere.
That's not to be, right? They're all over the place.
Exactly. So flatten it.
Or you can get that product called BTK.
Yep.
And you can spray that up in the tree, and you can put it on a hose end sprayer so you can get quite high up.
Yeah, about 20 feet.
And that's a very natural product that you can use too.
It's just affects caterpillars, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Judy in Miota says, I've got a tree where the bark is peeling. Not sure what kind of tree it is. Can we save it or should we just take it down? There's a picture of it here. Got to get my screen going the right way. And you can see it's all just kind of scaling off there. Let's see if I can get a better picture of it. Do we know what that is?
It's an ash tree.
It's an ash tree, okay.
Ashes do naturally peel some bark off as they get older as well.
Yeah.
So that's not a real concern. I can't really zoom in on that picture, you know, that great here. But, I mean... they do peel a bit on the ash naturally.
So just let it go. Just keep going.
It'll be fine.
It's still a green tree.
Yep.
There's lots of greenery on it. So just keep going. When it finally doesn't make any more leaves.
Yep. Just make sure that, because it looks like it's, if I look at that picture again here, Jay.
Yeah. I'll have to move it around one more time.
It looks like, just to zoom out again, there looks like it's a lot of vegetation around the tree, and it looks like there might be a sidewalk or drive.
It looks like at one point in time this might have been a volunteer tree.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
might also got hit by a
just make sure something. That just make sure that you keep it moist around the area because there's lots of competition. It looks like in front of it there might be a parking lot or something like that. So or a driveway or something like that. So just it might not be getting as much moisture as you think with all the competition. So just monitor that by probing the soil.
Okay, we are going to get Joe and Jody on after the break. Guys, hang on to over the break on their phone lines. We're just getting up to the top of the, or the bottom of the hour here really quick, and we don't want to have to cut your call short. So we're going to do a few more texts. So Jody and Joe, hang on the phone lines. We will get to you as soon as we get back. Let's go with a few more texts. This is from Julie, who's in Regina. I have 6-week-old sod from the tough turfs in Saskatoon. When should I fertilize it? You know, what setting on my Scott spreader and green and orange bag of groundskeeper fertilizer? Julie's in Regina.
Yeah, I'd use the green one, which is a 16-10, which is the phosphorus. Phosphorus is what you're going to need to help, you know, to get the roots growing. So use the green bag, and with the 16, you can do it right away. It's not a problem. It won't hurt the tree. It won't hurt the grass. It'll actually help it.
And that sod is 6 weeks old.
Yep, that's fine.
That's fine, right? That's fine. So go ahead.
Yep.
I use on my drop spreader the same combination, a Scott drop spreader with the groundkeeper fertilizer. My number is about 7 or 7.5 on that, which is kind of about the halfway point of what that that thing will open up to. Yep.
Now, with them, I'd probably put it at about a 5.
Okay.
With the new grass, I wouldn't put it at a 7 because you want yours like looking like the greenest one in the universe.
Sure. So this first round, go for a 5.
Yep.
And when it's more established next year, you can open it up a little bit more.
Yep.
Yeah. But you know what? I've never had an issue. I'm sure if you dumped big piles on the lawn, you'd have burning.
That's with an existing lawn as well.
Right. But I've never had a problem at all with burning.
The 16 is a lower nitrogen, so you're not going to burn the lawn.
Exactly. All right. 1-877-332-8255. Joe and Jody, we're back with your calls as soon as we get back. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. Okay, let's get with the phone lines. We'll get that first, and then we'll go to our lightning round, part one of our texts, and we'll do the same thing next break as well. Lots of texts to get through, which is good, but let's start in Balgonie and talk to Jody. Hi, Jody. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. What's going on in your yard?
I got about just over 100 evergreen and spruce trees along my lane. This will be their second year in the ground. Last winter, I lost about 12 of them. I replaced them. I'm just wondering if there's anything I can do to prevent that from happening again this winter.
Hang on a sec. Wait, I got to get Rick's mic on. There we go.
There you go. The biggest thing is just make sure that you, once we get around in September, keep them moist right now, okay? Once we get around the September long weekend, start slowing down. Don't starve them with water, but slow them down. And then once you get around the second to third week of October, soak them good so that they almost like freeze into the ground.
All right, so no fertilizer or nothing like that, just water that's it.
No, that's all you can do. And how tall are they right now?
Between 2 and 3 feet.
Yeah, so where you going to get lost, where the loss has happened, the purple and brown needles is on the tips and sticking out of the snow, or otherwise on the south side, right? So, I mean, one thing you could do too is that put up a snow fence. Right, if you can put up a snow fence and make a bigger snow drift there, that'll protect them big time as well.
How many plants do you have?
I've got about 110 of them.
Yep.
It's so, like a lot of them could use protection from the sun if you could wrap them, right? But that's a lot of plants.
A lot of plants, and you can spray on late in the season. You can put on a product called FoliGuard or Wiltproof, and that puts a coating on them to help protect them as well. Or what you can do is just grab some bunch of pails of dirt, you know, put them in a place where you can thaw the dirt out in March, because they turn brown in March, okay, and the first week of April. And then if you have some dirt around that, you can just spread it on top of the snow to turn the snow sort of a dark color rather than bright white, and that'll stop the reflection and stop the burning.
All right, that makes sense. I'll try that out and we'll see what happens.
Are you, Jody, getting them like needles being totally gone? Because I know that, you know, Balgonie, White City, Emerald Park area, like there's lots of deer that eat that stuff just down to nothing, right?
Yes, I had to put motion lights out in my garden as well just to keep the deer away, and it seems to be working. But the needles are still there for the most part. The whole thing goes right brown.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Right brown. Okay. Sometimes you'll get the new growth coming out of the tips, and sometimes they're so desiccated that they don't come back at all.
So if I got that new growth, the green on the top, they're okay. Just let them keep going.
Let them keep going.
All right, that's all I needed to know.
Okay.
Thanks, Jody. Take care. All right.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. 1-877-332-8255. Right now to Joe in Prince Albert. Hi, Joe. How you doing?
Hi, doing great, thanks.
Excellent.
Hey, I heard you guys talking about groundskeeper just before the break, and just the other day as I was coming home, a fellow was pushing a lawnmower down the street. He stopped me and said, I want to shake your hand. And I asked him why. He said, your lawn is gorgeous.
Oh, right on.
I never had that happen before, anyway.
And you've been using groundkeeper?
Yes, I've been using it for the last few years, and it's amazing, absolutely amazing. Yeah,
it's a local product made by a local family, and they make their fertilizers, they blend their fertilizers for our soil. So that's it's not made in Ontario or somewhere else. It's made right here, just outside Saskatoon.
Yeah, and I gave them the secret. I said the tip is a Saskatchewan-made product called Groundskeeper. So
yep. Yeah, that's awesome. Fantastic.
So my question is, I moved into an older home. The north side of my garage, facing north, was completely covered with Virginia creeper. And it's starting to get out of control, and aphids got to it this year. I'm trying to, you know, every once in a while, spray it down with cold water. But they're still there, and last year was beautiful. It was full. This year it's really patchy. So it's all the way up to the top of the building, starting to go around the side with new growth. I'm not sure what to do. Some of the, if you want to call them trunks, because they actually are, about this thickness of a broom handle.
Yep.
So I'm wanting to know, should I, and there's a lot of dead wood in there, if I should trim it back as close to the building as possible, or if I should just cut it down and let it regrow again.
Yeah, you could do either one. One thing about cutting down little pieces as close as you can, a lot of times you'll cut a piece off, but then you'll leave the end of that stem and it'll just die off anyways, right? Onto the plant. If you cut the whole thing down, like let's say you cut it down to like say 4 feet, 5 feet off the ground,
yeah,
then the whole thing will just rejuvenate like crazy, you know, like it'll go like crazy. And if you want to stop the bugs, best thing to do is get a hold of some praying mantis in the spring, the egg sac, and then in June put that in with the onto that Virginia creeper, and those beneficial insects, whether it be ladybugs or praying mantis, will help control all your aphids.
And do you folks carry the praying mantis and ladybugs at your shop?
Usually not until, we'll have the praying mantis early and you just got to put it in the fridge until June. And the ladybugs don't come in until what, Jill?
They didn't come until July this year,
so later in the season.
Yeah, okay. And would you do that, you know, early in the, if I got some this fall and put them in the freezer, would I apply them in the springtime? Yeah,
you have to pick them up in the spring, so they won't be available until about May.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha. So the best rejuvenation you're thinking is to take it down to that 3, 4, 5 foot mark?
Yeah. Just take everything off the house and then let it rejuvenate. It'll go like crazy. With that old root and then old stems, they'll just take right off next year. Fertilize them, and you watch them go.
Okay.
Okay.
That sounds great. Okay. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Yep.
Take care. Thanks, Joe. All right.
You bet.
Bye-bye. All right. We're going to go to our text lines, pardon me, because it is time for the lightning round. We're going to, of course, keep going through our next break, but let's get some done here. This is Tina in Shelbrook. Good morning. How about them Riders? Yeah, they had a good win their last game, too.
Yes.
I have an ornamental crab tree that has tiny holes all around the trunk. The tree still looks healthy, so wondering what to do about the holes. Are they caused by a beetle or a bug? How do I control them?
Well, it could be two things. It could be one is a sapsucker or a woodpecker, okay, that are looking for insects, the tiny holes. It could be that. Or it could be a borer. And if the borer's in them, that means that the tree, something wrong with it, and the inside of the bark is starting to die, and then that's what is attracting the borer to it. So not sure. It could be either one. Best thing to do is send some close-up pictures to info@dutchgrowers.com.
Okay, yeah, okay. We'll need a bit more to just figure that one out then, Tina. This is interesting. TJ texted in. We were talking with Paul, right, about the watermelons, right? And TJ said, my mom would pickle the unripe, not mature watermelons. Very good.
There you go.
I've seen that with the cucamelons, people pickling the cucamelons, which is like a cucumber melon.
Right, but I suppose it's kind of that same family as cucumbers, right? A melon. And that you could make pickled pickled little watermelons. Yep.
You know what I tried that was pickled? I tried pickled peas from the farmer's market, and they were dill pickled peas. I've never had them before. They were such a good snack.
That's
cool.
That's a good segue here is that, you know what, if you don't have a garden or your garden didn't do as well, there's so many right across Saskatchewan farmer's markets, you know, out there. You know, support your local grower and get out there and pick up some of that fresh produce at some of your local farmer's markets.
There you go. This is Eva, who lives just south of Saskatoon. I was wondering if I can fertilize my shrubs and perennials once more for the season, or is it too early or too late?
Your perennials, you can probably still, they're going to be growing right until the end of September, so you can give them another shot right now, but I wouldn't do them any more into like the last week of August. You don't want to be fertilizing your perennials.
And then the shrubs and trees?
Pretty much shut down right now.
Yeah, you're done.
Unless you haven't done any fertilizing for years or so, give them a half strength, you know.
Just a 20-20-20. Yeah, I wouldn't do a 30-10-10.
Yeah, just something lower nitrogen so that you give them a lot of the other nutrients that to help that plant get through the wintertime.
Okay. Yeah. One more text in before we go to our break. Good morning. My son has a golden elder that's way out of control. It's probably 10 feet high and very wide.
Yep.
Can we, and how much can we trim now to get it back into shape from this?
You can do a light trimming right now, but I would suggest when the plant turns dormant, the leaves go off, then you can trim it back quite a bit. You could trim back a third to a half, not a problem. Okay. And it'll come right back again with fertilizing.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We've got Francis, Diane, Brad, and a whole bunch more also to get to. Text on the way in the lightning round coming up next. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick, and it's time for the lightning round. Here we go. The text line. This is from Francis. No, I guess it's probably from Ray. Just different texture. Good morning. I live south of Saskatoon, south end of the city. I've got a problem with slugs. I'm using Bug Be Gone, aerating the soil, trying to get rid of the lots of sun in the bed, you know, the garden bed, and picking the darn creatures. I was recommended that I could condition the soil, and there was a product which was a liquid that can be broadcast over the soil. It was recommended to be set by somebody at Early's. What are your thoughts on this?
There is a liquid slug and snail killer.
Yep.
That would work as well. Okay. Or otherwise, there's the granular stuff, which I like putting it down with a little strip of plywood or something like that, and then putting it underneath there so that because the slugs will protect themselves during the day underneath the and they'll be attracted by the slug bait, and they'll just eat it and die underneath the pieces of wood.
Okay.
And slug bait is all now, it's all made, it's regulated to make, and so it made so that it's safe for pets.
It was also indicated that the soil needs to be conditioned and create a better microbiome.
Yeah, well, the biggest thing is obviously, is like he was saying before, is making more aeration so that you get more, not so moist in there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, even if you work your soil up a little bit, and just so that it doesn't get so mossy and wet in there, that helps just a light cultivating. That will help as well. But, I mean, the slugs, they'll come. If you got them, they'll keep coming back.
I have a little home remedy too. Is garlic or the mosquito barrier garlic. The slugs don't like the smell like the garlic. So if you want to get rid of them, you can also use the mosquito barrier, which is a garlic spray. And you can spray that in there and help deter them as well.
Ray, second question. I've got farm-grade pounce. What are your thoughts on using that on gladiator crab and mountain ash?
Pounce, I believe, is just it's...
Well, and it depends what he's trying to do with those as well, too. What's he trying to kill?
I think it's an insecticide. I'm trying to remember if that pounce is a, I'm pretty sure it's a pyrethrin of some kind. But anyways,
it is a type of pyrethrin.
It's a pyrethrin, so just have to go by the directions because it's more of a concentrated pyrethrin. So you have to read the directions. You wouldn't use it as same as your Bug X out. You know, it'd be a different strength.
Okay.
So you just have to watch out for that.
Pam's in Saskatoon. Hi, Garden Talk. I've got four honeysuckle vines in separate garden boxes. They're all not blooming at all, and the leaves look like the pictures there. Is it a fungus, a bug? They've got plenty of water with the rain. And when it's not raining, we've got automatic watering on them. So there's a picture here that they just sent in. They look, you know, okay, but there's that one leaf there that's kind of got some yellow on it, a few kind of holes,
looks like mostly a nutrient deficiency. So they need lots of sunlight,
yep.
Okay, and they need nutrients.
A 2020 fertilizer would be great for that
but
one.
But not, you got to be careful. Do 2020 for a bit, but then cut down on the nitrogen part, because I find with honeysuckles, if I give it too much nitrogen, then they have all green leaves and no flowers.
That's very true. So you could do a 15-30-15 as well.
If you want to do a 2020, I do that first thing in the spring, and then as I do it every 3 weeks after that, go with a lighter nitrogen.
Good comment here from Marie in Kamsack. For tying up plants, you use pantyhose or hose anklets. You can cut them to however long you need them.
Yep,
get them from the dollar store. They're soft, stretchy.
Yep.
You know, they don't cut into plants.
I used to tell, don't throw out your holy pantyhose.
Use I used to tell garden. People that, especially for cedars when they split open, that's the best thing to use for that, to keep them so you don't damage the bark.
And also, if you're collecting seed from your flowers, you can tie little sachets around the end of the flowers once they go there, and then instead of the seeds exploding, you can collect the seeds in the pantyhose as
nice.
Well.
Like hollyhocks and that kind of stuff. Yep.
This is Pat in Melfort. Good morning. I have a friend who's given me a lipstick plant. She's never been able to get it to bloom. Do you got any suggestions?
It's keeping it well watered and consistently that's really important. Making sure that you put it in bright indirect light. And then when you're fertilizing it, if you want to switch to a 15-30-15 fertilizer and follow the houseplant instructions on the back of the container, you can try that as well.
Okay. On our text line right now, Brad is in Warman. Our maple tree is growing so well and has many seeds on it now. Is it safe to prune the branches soon?
That was the perfect time to prune them. Actually, you should prune them in August, September. That's when you should prune maples and birches, okay?
And it's another one of those, what's the best way to deal with poplar trees with suckers popping up in the lawn?
Not much you can do with them is trim them down and
use the advance.
Otherwise, you can just, you know, at least 10 feet away from the tree itself, the main tree, you can cut a trench and sever the roots. And then what happens, you sever the root, and then you can go and paint some Roundup onto the suckers to kill the root completely there.
But you can't just paint Roundup onto the suckers that are there.
It'll go back to the main plant.
Into the tree and kill the whole thing.
It could go back to the main plant.
Right. I wish that we wouldn't sell poplars anymore to people who are like, if you live on a huge acreage, great, whatever.
Yep.
But like, you know, in the city, man, it's just nonstop with the same question we get over and over. And I think people regret putting poplars in their yard for that reason.
Yeah, and when you cut the suckers, they just
get worse.
Yeah,
especially the fast growing tower poplars and that kind of stuff. Right?
There's so many other trees that will do the same thing without that issue.
Yeah, like the Parkland pillar birch.
Exactly.
You want a narrow one. Yep.
Exactly. All right, keep going with the text line here. We've got to squeeze in as many as we can. Let's see. This is Dylene, maybe. We are located south of Saskatoon on a small acreage. Two questions with the photos. Dylene, we're gonna get to that after we get off the air, because it's a little too hard to get to this with our rush job that we kind of do right now. So we'll get to a few of these answered. I have access to some very mature daylilies that have been on my parents' acreage. What's the best time? How should I be digging them out? I'd love to save them.
I would probably do that in the early spring is when I would do that one.
15th of April, approximately.
Yeah, mark your plants this fall. Even take some little flags and or stakes and stick them in the ground so you can mark the edges. And then you can start digging them up and dividing them. I'd probably just dig. You can either cut that plant in half and dig out half of it and divide it that way. Or if you want to dig up the whole thing and then cut the root into pieces, you can do that too early spring.
Okay. Rick is in Saskatoon. I have a 3-year-old Flaming Hot Wings maple. It's grown well. It hasn't been pruned yet, and branches at the bottom are starting to droop. Again, we can prune that maple
right now. Best time to prune them.
Yes, exactly. Donna also asked us in Saskatoon, can I still use aluminum sulfate on my incredible hydrangeas? They were just planted last summer.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Aluminum sulfate is not really like a fertilizer type thing, but it'll help acidify the soil and actually make them hardier for the wintertime.
And I always say this, I never get blooms on mine until I give them that.
Yep.
It doesn't really want to bloom without it.
Continue doing that about once a month.
Yep.
Okay. There is just one text we couldn't get to on the air, and we will get back to that shortly. Just a couple will answer when we get off the air here. But otherwise, if you're not busy, we got 20 seconds left. Hey, the Rock 102 Show and Shine is on today till 4 o'clock downtown Saskatoon. Great car show. And I'm going to be there.
And don't forget about the SOS trees.
Yep. SOS help tree planting. There is the tree competition next weekend and then the repotting classes. So
lots to do.
Yeah,
absolutely. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you same time, same place next weekend. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. You've been listening to Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.